everyone. Welcome to Fresh Air Radio, where we play music for your soul. And I am your host, Queen B. Today is Transformation Tuesday, and you are on Heartstrings Matters of the Heart. And today I have a very special guest from Texas. His name is Sean Wilbur. And Sean and I have been connecting on Facebook for a bit. And actually, I'm just going to let him tell you a little bit about himself, and then we'll get started. Sean?
Oh, hello, everyone. My name is Sean Wilburn. I'm located here in Houston, Texas, and I am a pastor and relationship coach. I'm also an author. The title of my book is Love Chronicles, Revelation of How I Played the Game, Love, Lost, and Learned. And so I kind of started this whole little coaching journey years ago when I was in college. I was always the guy friend that all my female friends came to for man advice. So that's kind of how all this started for me.
Okay, awesome. So you were the guy friend, Sean.
Yeah, I was the guy friend.
You see me laughing?
I was the big brother.
You were the big brother. I was the go-to girl. So I heard all the stories that I necessarily want to hear. There's some stories I will take to my grave because you know how guys are. When they share and confident with their girl, they don't expect to hear it again. Maybe that's something, that's actually where we can start off with. That I think women don't understand that men really need to trust them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Talk about trust.
Okay, so here's the thing, that it's a couple of things I got to help ladies understand, and I say this all the time when it comes to men and how we rationalize and think. Number one, mm-hmm. just like for a man, what you need is security. What a man needs from you is support. And part of that support piece is trust, okay? Being able to let my hair down around you. Can I be myself and it won't be brought back up? Being that I'm a public figure, you know, just even speaking for myself, you know, personally, I don't want to be Sean C. Wilburn when I'm with my lady. I want to be Sean. You know, I want to be able to let my hair down and be human. Because oftentimes people, you know, I was telling someone the other day, people love my role, but they don't necessarily love me. If that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
The person that you are the most intimate with needs to be the person that loves you unconditionally and that you can trust with your places of vulnerability and it never be thrown back up in your face. So, you know, if I can be, you know, pastor for a second, that's even really what happened with Samson with Delilah. You know, he was able to lay in her lap and relax.
That's right.
You know, and when he did that, you know, he opened himself up and gave his secrets away. You know, that's the same thing we do. Same exact thing.
That you get comfortable. And I was having a conversation with one of my friends. He will remain he will be blameless and nameless. That Samson and Delilah and the story, and I've talked about it a few times, is powerful because Delilah knew how to talk to Samson. She just didn't mean him any good. But she knew how to get into his head. She knew exactly what to say to him. And she kept pestering and pestering. And finally he broke down. Now this is a big, strong man. I mean, he took out men with a donkey jaw. I actually said it was a chicken bone. I was making jokes, but he killed people because he was upset. You know, his woman was given away, but Delilah is, and my joke to my friend is, okay, that was your problem. You put your head in Delilah's lap. And so of course he cracked up, but the reality is that when men do that, I agree with you, they don't want to hear their issues coming back. And I think I always say to the women, charge it to his head and not his heart. Because when men get upset, there's a different component. But they don't like to keep hearing the same thing over and over again. I think we as women, we dredge up the past. We will throw it in your face 6 years later. Now, I, on the other hand, and Sean, I'm going to make you crack up, is that when I see something, I may not address it for 6-7 months. And then when I bring it back up, I wait for an appropriate time. I articulate it without emotion, but it's to help him understand what's been going on. And so even when I tell people, never get it twisted, I hear you. Sometimes I just choose not to address it because I think really timing is huge. for women when they interact with men. And I don't think women understand that.
Right. You know, it's a sensitivity. The thing that I will say is you got to use your innate gift. Your innate gift mm-hmm. that God gives you as a nest builder and your, you know, influence piece is a keen sense of discernment.
Okay.
No.
You said nest builder. Okay.
That's in your nest builder capacity. You know, so what happens, think about it. You're a mother. You can tell what's going mm-hmm. on with your children before anything, I mean, with your son, usually, before anything is ever coming out of their mouth. You already know what's going on because that's what's in you.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
A lot of times, you guys will let your emotions override that gift.
Yes, that's huge for women.
Right. Not knowing when to say it and when to leave it alone.
And I think a lot of us actually operate out of emotion. And I'm one, I'm always teaching, pull your emotions out of it. Like I'm like a guy, a lot of times I'm more logical. Or if I'm presented with something, I will wait. And I pray about it. Like even
right.
when I was going through my divorce, it's like, and the kid's father asked me a question, says, you know, let me pray about it. And ladies, even, and it really does mean I really was praying, but praying gives you time to do what? To process, to think it through.
Right.
And sometimes just waiting, things blow up on their own. Sometimes you don't have to touch anything. And I think that's key even dealing with men, that you don't always have to tell him something. Or when you do, it's how you tell him. And I think you made up two points, nest building. But the other night on your show, you were bringing out a couple of key components on how men process. And it was really, in a way, not, I wouldn't say fascinating. Fascinating probably for most, but in understanding how men think. And I think I think I posted on my wall the difference between what was the word? Sensitivity or was it and judgment? Constructive criticism and judgment. And my son popped up and clicked I like. I was like, whoa, okay, Scotty's paying attention. That was my eldest. There's a fine line. And of course, you know, he and I go back and forth as my son, but we have those conversations. You know, we've talked about relationships. I tell people what I teach my own children and I live by. Meaning, if you're not ready to get married, why are you dating?
Right.
That's what I said to my son. And I know some people don't understand that, but that was a method of keeping them out of trouble.
Right. Because a lot of people date to mate.
Right. I heard you say that. Date to mate. I like that. Date to mate or date just to be dating. Or dating out of fear of loneliness.
Exactly. And usually that is because you are trying to build an identity from dating.
Wow. So you think that's what's going on in today's society?
Yes, of course. In this Instagram, Facebook society and Snapchat society we live in, I want to be able mm-hmm. to be that chick that's in the fancy restaurants every night, you know. I want to be the dude that has the model chick on my arm. You know, that's kind of, unfortunately, the society we have, you know, grown into now. It's about image. And, you know, like I know, you can look a certain way, but behind closed doors, you know, you'd be going through purity hell and nobody would know, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a sad day, but that's pretty much where we are. You know, you have a lot of people that date because they don't want to be the person that nobody wants.
Right, because then the philosophy always was is if somebody wants you, then everybody wants you. Or you know the guy the geeky guy, nobody wanted him until I just watched a movie recently, Love Don't Cost a Thing with Nick Cannon. You know, nobody wanted him until he hooked up with the fly girl. And then she realized that they were very much alike. And I think we all wear those. I always say we don't send we're always sending our rep to the table. We don't send our honest self. So we send our representative. And then when it begins to unravel, all hell starts to break loose. And some people actually end up not just a relationship, but marriage. And neither person really knows each other because nobody was honest or transparent. Because we definitely live in a society where people lie. This is where I'm thinking, you know, there's people I know or I've encountered or counsel where, you know, 6 months later, the marriage is over. Because somebody
right.
wasn't truthful. And it's like, well, how do you even deal
it.
With that?
Think mm-hmm. about it like this. You know, you and I'm on the tail end of the same generation. You know?
Right.
And mm-hmm. when we were coming up, if you were a fine chick, you were just a fine chick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're a dude. You admire. She looked good. She got Coke bottle shake. Now, everybody wants to be an Instagram model.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everybody is going to buy fake booties, fake boobs, you know, all this stuff that it was natural. Even black folks doing it. You know, I hate to make it a racial thing, but I mean, you know, it's crazy. And it is the epitome of fake.
Yes.
You know, pardon the pun. It is literally the epitome of the fraudulence of this generation and where we are. And just how we deal with one another, it's about looking a certain way, even if I'm not that way, you know. And it's a, like I said, it's a very sad thing, very sad thing. But
well, there's still a shift going on, and mm-hmm. and we'll get ready to take a break in a minute. There's a shift, and it was a few years ago, and I didn't realize. So here's my thing: I didn't realize it was this bad out here. I thought that most women thought like me. And then when I got on social, and I've been on social media for a bit, probably like 10 years or so, and when I started doing the relationship piece, you know, Lord kind of put it on me, nothing I really asked for, I was like, oh my God, it's really crazy out here. And then I began to watch how the women to me act more like the men used to. And then so there's all these changes going on. Everybody is, like you said, fake, you know, whether the woman is the fake hair, the eyelashes, you know, changing the color of your eyes. And honestly, it's like a lack of self-esteem to me that when you're constantly taking selfies, like I don't think I've changed my profile picture in probably months. And at some point, I probably have to do a new photo shoot when I get around to it. But it's like it's not a priority for me. I got other things going on. But
right.
I realize as I because, you know, I'm this psych major, I began to study the behavior, and it was like people don't even understand. They're all caught up in it. And then the crazy part was the church folk follows the world instead of the other way around. Then I started
right.
watching the older people on Facebook, the church folk, and I'm like, huh? You know, I see women taking pictures in their bedroom, and there's
yeah.
this whole, I think at one point I blogged about how we even wear our bedclothes outside. And so there's this
yep.
whole shift in the generations, and it's like when you begin to talk about it, people don't really see it. But this is a reality that, it, you know, between Snapchat and, you know, the filters, people look a different color. So then when you see them in person, you're like, okay, you look like this like you did on your social media thing. and it's really scary. Because for the brothers, I mean, I've watched, there's a few of my friends who are from Africa. They do a whole different level. So I don't know if you've seen it. I have to find somebody to connect you to that their level of makeup is to the extreme. That
right.
literally they change skin color, the woman, I mean, and gorgeous looking. But then when they show the before and after, it's like, wow. And here's the question. We're going to take a break because I got a question for you. So this
okay.
is my premise. Who is actually pushing it? Is it more the men or the women? And we're going to take a break. I'm going to let them chew on that for a minute. We're going to come back. We are here on Fresh Air Radio, where we play music for your soul. Transformation Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Just give us a couple minutes to take a station break, and we'll be back at you. And we are back with Sean from Texas. Where we left off, I asked Sean a question about the premise of the women looking a certain way. Is it more a guy issue or female issue? And what I meant by that is men like women to look a certain way. So where do we think really the pressure is coming from, Sean?
You know, I'm gonna put it evenly. Because at the end of the day, if that's your personality to be, you know, super glammed up, that's your personality. Some people have their personality. For others, you know, they do it because a man has forced them to do it. I'll give you a perfect example. It's kind of an occupational hazard for me to do what I do, because unfortunately, when things don't work out with me with women that I like, I become their coach.
Oh, wow. Do you have a penchant for pain?
You know? So what ends up happening, probably about 3 months ago, this young lady that I really, really like called me out of the blue. I'm thinking, okay, maybe she's interested again. And we start talking, and I think I know I hear her sniffling crying. What's wrong with you? And she explains that the guy that she's dating, you know, that she really likes, told her that she's being fake because she wears weave and that she wears makeup. And he wants her to take her weave out, and he wants her to stop wearing makeup. And I immediately stopped her and said, that's not your personality. What that is that gentleman is insecure about how pretty you are, so he's breaking you down to what he needs you to be so he can control the situation.
Right, that's
abuse. That is.
Right.
Exactly. That is the first signs of abuse. You know, so it can go several different ways. If you have a woman who's very insecure, then what's going to happen is she's going to continue to be a chameleon. And whatever relationship she ends up in, she does whatever that man needs. Typically, we chase what we want. So if we chased you and you were wearing makeup and you had long hair, you're going to have to keep doing that. Okay.
Right.
Stop wearing makeup and come with that Florida Evans afro one day and expect us to be cool. That's not gonna happen.
You know what? She can't be natural.
Hey, I'm not about to be natural. You're not gonna do that to me.
But wait a minute, my hair is natural. I actually
ain't nothing wrong with natural hair.
This is done right, right?
Right. The young lady you saw on my show last night
would have been
my wife had she wanted to have my kids. She don't want any kids anymore, so we just ended up being friends. And she's natural.
Wow,
so, I mean,
are you serious?
Yes.
Right, and that's a key. That's a show, because women don't understand that some men who are older don't want more children, and some who are younger do. And so there's a possibility that people miss out, because it's easier for men to find a female who's younger to have children versus women when they're older. You know, they miss that sometimes window of opportunity. Like, I remember my last one, Josiah, it'll be 19 in June, and I almost lost my mind because I actually only wanted one. I have three boys, and I wanted one. Two were slipped in. People keep telling me, no, they were. I'm like, yeah, they really were. Josiah, I thought I was pregnant, and I broke out in hives and was having a fit. But Josiah has literally been my blessing. But the boy was like 10 pounds. It was a very rough pregnancy. And do I ever want to do that again? And this is what I actually had this conversation with someone. Recently, I said to a young man that when a woman wants your child, she does. Doesn't matter whether you have money or not. But when a woman says to you she doesn't want your child, then you might as well hang it up. And I've been there with one of my fiancés. I really didn't want any more children. But I had said to him, oh, we hiring a nanny. Because he's about to. I'm like, no. I'm done with this. Okay, we will do this, but I have to have some help. Versus, say, with someone else, I wouldn't have batted an eye. So it really is, it's that dichotomy, almost like, you know, I want kids, I don't want kids, but it depends upon who you have children with.
Look.
And so basically you're saying, however you, huh?
He hit me with that same thing. First date, we hanging out, we shutting down this very nice restaurant, we shut it down, we the last couple there. She just stops, we're the same age, she stops and says, you want kids, don't you? I was like, yeah, I do. She said, well, you need to decide right now whether this is going to be platonic or romantic, because I can have them, but I don't plan on having any more. I don't want you mad at me if we end up married and I get pregnant and end up having an abortion, because I'm not going to have another child.
And that's what people do. People come down, but that's what it boils down to. We are someone, I remember one of my friends, and and he's in a relationship. And, of course, you know, there's people I encounter who are not necessarily our same belief. And so, of course, the female wants children. He doesn't. And so, and this is the crazy part, ladies. Y'all don't get this. You cannot make a man change his mind. You could trick him. You could sneak one in. But you really don't change his mind. And he is very adamant. He's like, no, I don't want any more kids. And for her, in my mind, I was like, well, she needs to skip out because she still wants them. She doesn't have any. And she's wasting time with him thinking he's going to change his mind.
Right.
And I don't understand what it is about us that when a guy tells us no, we don't really think he means no. And I don't know if it's our makeup. I don't know if it's our mental component, if it's mental instability. But it's, when a guy tells you no, he really he means no.
Well,
go ahead. Hit us with it.
Just slightly, just a little bit. Because understand with men, we use words to hunt. And sometimes no is a mind game.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I understand that. But I'm saying when it comes to children or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't think is a mind game. No. Men do use words to get us. I do know that. They will play a role in a heartbeat. So ladies got to be careful with that too. And I think, because sometimes I think women on a whole, and we have this innate ability that the Lord downloaded in us to get things and discern, and we don't use it. I don't know if our brain goes on stupid because we see something we want, but a lot of times we get played and we don't need to. I think the expression is, no man can do to you unless you allow it. And anywhere in the world is called what, Sean?
Rape.
No matter what country, whether they allow it or not, that's just the bottom line. It's
right.
We ultimately have a choice. We can tell a man no.
Right.
So you're saying whatever you hunt, typically you like, meaning hair or not. Okay, interesting train of thought. Ladies, did you hear that? Because you know, some of us got switched up at some point. I've heard stories where the guy's like, what do you mean you're going natural?
Right. The husband of a couple that I married, husband came up to me secretly and said, Pastor, pray for me. I said, why? I didn't marry my wife with this little afro she got. and all her girlfriends keep telling her it's cute, and it's not. Her head shape is made for it. It's just not the right thing for her. I don't know how to tell her. I said, well, sir, unless you want to put on the couch, you might not want to say nothing. Just be quiet. I said,
Thank you. Because, listen, when you go, and I think mine has been natural, but my hair grade is different. I think when I chopped it off, I was dealing with somebody, and I was like, oh, what's going to happen? Because I know guys. I know how guys are. But he popped up, like, he liked it, so we were good at the moment. Of course, that's back then. But it's like, I thought about that before I did it. Because men have a tendency to, if they don't like something, they just don't like it. And I think for a lot of times for the ladies, I've said to them that as long as it's not against your nature or something's not criminal or something, that sometimes you have to pay attention. You know, men have this mental construct. I mean, y'all are extremely visual.
Exactly.
And so how you see something, right? And I was made one of my friends laugh. You each have a different tension for certain things, whether it's, you know, it's arms, it's thighs, you know, it's breasts. So every man is different. Not every man is the same. And I think sometimes women forget that. You know, we kind of try to lump you into the same boat, and that's not always the case.
Right.
And there's some men who are not visual. You know, but overall, it's a visual component.
There's very few that are like that. Most are.
Based on sometimes choices, you know, but it's different because what some men love natural, others don't. Some men don't like makeup. Like I have a couple friends that are like, no, they just don't like makeup. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And in their mind, the beauty in a female is the way that she is, nothing extra.
Right.
But so that one chick comes along and You've known that to
it
happen,
blows
right?
His mind. Right.
And that's it. Yes. Well, there you go. Blows his mind. Whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, and I think women forget that piece comes into a huge component too, Sean. The mental.
You're saying what I'm about. I will even tell you this. Falling in love looks different to us than it does to y'all. No.
Yes. Right.
Love for us is cerebral initially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is not a deep-seated emotion. That deep-seated emotion doesn't come until later when we become happy with the choice we've made.
Right. Okay.
But a man falls in love first in his head, and then in his head.
Mm-hmm.
You caught what I just said.
I did. Yep. it's variations behind it.
Right.
And you know what? Women totally miss that. Because I think that's why I teach the married woman, if he has needs, meet his needs. Then talk to him later.
Right.
Because for men, sex is very much connected to their emotions with the right female. But on the other side of the coin, they can kick it and get up and keep moving. And how I attribute that to is the way that God created us, because men deposit, women receive.
Exactly.
And women, and I started this conversation, my homie, my pastor, is like, men wasn't necessarily designed to be monogamous, but women are.
Right.
So even when you think about, you know, Solomon, you know, I rewrote Solomon and the harem, and I said the Shumite woman was probably one of 900 other females.
Right.
And he just whatever decided, you know, you write about her. But the reality is she more than likely was sharing him. But men don't do well with sharing. And so it's like, you know, it's good for the goose for the gander, but it don't quite work that way in a man's mind. And so a man has to choose to be monogamous, you know, particularly the society, and make a choice to stick with one female. And of course, and you know, women's mentality is, I don't mind sharing. Well, I do, Sean. I don't share. Like we were talking, Sean and I were talking offline. Like, I will share when it comes to ministry, but not when it comes to home life. There's two different, that's two different constructs. For those who are listening, for many of us in ministry, we have to share our spouse because that's part of the process. But home life needs to be, you know, copacetic and placed where there's no sharing there. There has to be either, you know, whether it's office hours, not to take advantage of the pastor, not to cross those lines, but we always have to share. So you're saying basically if when a woman meets a man's needs, that does something to his mental mind.
So what happens initially? I want you to think about every love song you ever heard a man talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Or a man.
Yeah.
Okay, you never hear him talk about how he has butterfly feelings or anything like that. It's always, I can't get her out of my what? Mind. Okay, and what's embedded in his mind is the image that she corresponds to. That's a perfect image to him, whatever that image is of beauty. Okay, and that's what's in his mind. Or either, if she affected the other head, can't get out of his mind the 3D movie.
Right, because it keeps replaying it.
Right,
he keeps replaying
it. It's messing him up.
That's why the scripture says, the scripture for that talks about, see, I'm going there. Remember the scripture that talks about a man that looketh? The ETH man, he continues. And I think women miss this entire memo that if you're married to a man, well, if you're married, you're never going to stop being attracted to other people. The key is, and I think Sean Court and I talked about, you have to be vulnerable enough with your mate to be open to say, this is where my issue is, because that's how you cover each other. But married couples miss that. Like, I don't have an issue when, if I'm with someone who says, okay, the woman's beautiful, okay, of course, because I think she is too. But the fact is, when he continues to think about her, or if you're not meeting his needs, the doors begin to become open. Somebody opens up some door.
Right.
And so that's a huge component. But, I mean, the word gives us those pieces where he keeps looking is what gets him into trouble. That's when the other head comes into play. Not the tongue, you know, it's the second head. I don't think women understand that makeup about a man, period. I mean, they do a little bit, they use it to their advantage, but not understanding all the components.
Because at the end of the day, is this. Look, sex for men is just sex unless they're in love with you.
Right.
So what happens if, okay, let me say it this way, and I'm trying not to be raunchy, but I got to say it real, okay? So any man that's attracted to you, that takes you out on a date, his projection with you is always going to be physical. It's never going to be futuristic.
No matter how saved he is, yes.
No matter how saved he is. To as, you know, sweet and simple as she has nice lips, I want to kiss her, to who she fine, you know what else, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happens is we create that fantasy in our mind from that point, from the vision of what we saw. Think about David, taking it biblically. He saw Bathsheba.
Right,
baby.
Bathsheba, yeah.
Okay, so I got to have that.
I got to snap that.
Right. What happens now when we finally get into the sexual intercourse side of things, if we have not fallen in love with you and that there's not a romantic feeling there, what happens is he will fall in love with you with the wrong head because you meet the 3D movie. Because sex for a man is a 3D movie. I tell women this all the time. It is the fantasy, it is the sound effects, and it is the actual sensation of what is going on for us.
So it's fantasy, sound effects. I'm writing this down, mind you. And what's the other piece?
And the actual sensation of the act.
No, because I'm going to quote you. Sensation of act. Yeah, I had one of the guys. Yeah, and men will put your face on someone else's body. Yeah, that's just crazy to me. But I've been told that. I've been told that.
That is exactly right. Okay. So what happens is if you meet that fantasy and blow his mind that way, it's going to be hard for him to transfer that love to the next head if that's the first head he falls in love with. Now, it's possible, but it's hard. Pardon the pun.
Right. Okay. And so that's where everybody gets stuck, basically. Because you already know women are emotional. And one, and this is why I tell people, sex confuses the issue every single time. Because you can't, when it's time to walk, the reason why so many people, and those who are listening to it, may not understand it, there's such a thing as we call soul ties, and I've heard people say it doesn't exist. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because what happens is when you have sex with someone, when I was little, I used to think, well, you just laid on top of each other, but then the Lord began to show me that your spirits are tied together. This is why some of us are crazy, because there's pieces of us all over town. And every person you slept with, and let's say you slept with two people, they slept with five, you've been with all those people, those spirits in exchange. And then you begin to wonder why you either can't break or things begin to change in your life, because you spiritually open up some of the doors. And those doors get opened through sin. And what happens is what the enemy does is he will wait. And once you open a door, he now has permission to enter into your life. Right. And it doesn't just shut because you decide to move away from this dude or this chick for 6 months. You could find out 8 years later that some of those issues are still following you. And that's what's so deep when God intended with sex was under covenant for that very reason. But you're right. People get stuck and they don't know how to break away. And so they say, turn into the next person is going to cure it. They keep jumping from bed to bed to bed, relationship to relationship, and never healing and never assessing the behavior.
Mm-hmm. And that was always taught to me this way, that when you do that, all you do is make the void bigger.
That's true.
You
keep it's like crossing. Right. There's nothing left to get.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes back to when I talk about when you come encounter a man. So here's an example. When you encounter a man who's been hurt, who's really been hurt, not just he's been sleeping around, that you only get a part of his heart because it's still tied to another female and he hasn't gotten over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard stories from the brothers where the female they never forgot.
That could be 30 years later.
Quote unquote, the one who got away. Mm-hmm. Because that's what she did. I remember this discussion with one of the guys where I said that a woman who knows how to get into a man's head, you know, where his brain lodges, can snag him, and he disagreed with me. But I believe that, you know, this is why I try to teach a woman, if you can get into his head, then at some point you get the heart.
Right.
But, of course, that kind of goes over their head, Sean. You know that.
Yeah.
It's like, but you got to tap into his mind.
Exactly. And I guess what I had the opportunity, Belinda, to see, my grandparents were married for 70 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to witness the end for them. And
okay.
It was the most powerful thing I'd ever seen. And this is where I got this revelation. You know, just mm-hmm. talking to my grandfather, I had the opportunity to let them renew their vows, and I was the officiant for their 65th
wow.
wedding anniversary. Okay. And it was such an honor. Sitting there talking to my grandfather.
Yeah.
Right. Sitting there talking to him after, I said, "Papa, how did y'all make it?" He said, "Well, son, we understand each other." He said, "You know, I have a good wife. She took care of me, and I take care of her." And he was proud of everything that he was proud of that choice that he made. So much so, they celebrated, and my prayer for them was they were going to be able to do this. They celebrated 70 years of marriage. My grandfather passed away 2 weeks literally after that celebration.
After, wow.
The Monday after we celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary, he went
mm-hmm.
into, you know, sickness with his lungs,
mm-hmm.
and 2 weeks later he passed away. Before he passed, mm-hmm. the night before he passed, we took him off the ventilator. And I'm talking about an 89, almost 90-year-old man that was still driving himself and everything else, but just went just like that, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
just got weak. And everything working but his lungs. So my grandmother had dementia at the time. He was taking care of her. And so we didn't tell her what was going on. She knew, though. She said, he not doing good, is he? He about to die. She asked my aunt that. My aunt said, "Yeah, Mama, it's not good." She's like, "I want to go see him." So we took her up there. And when they got there, my grandfather's gasping for air, trying to breathe with every breath. He's like, it was painful to watch. With all the strength that he could muster up when she walked in the room, he stood up in that bed, straight up, arm straight in the air, telling her to come here and give him a hug. She went over there to him, "Boy, sit down somewhere," and, you know, came and gave him a hug. And they held hands and looked into each other's eyes for 10 minutes straight and did not say a word, but said everything. After that, my grandfather waved bye to everybody, and literally that morning, he left here.
Unspoken silence, but many words were being said.
Yes, indeed.
Which also means, and I could hear, I could feel, is that's what you're looking for. I think that's what we all are looking for.
Yes, it is.
We just don't know how to obtain it.
Right. And for me, at this point in time, for me, just being transparent, I'm replenishing a family. My family unit is gone. Between 2011 mm-hmm. and 2014, I've lost all of my family members except for one.
Wow.
When I buried my mother in 2011, I expected that I was burying her and actually buying this plot of graves for my future wife and kids, for all of us to be buried together there with my mom. That's what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of 9 months, those plots were halfway full. And we're not full with my children because I'm still not married, nor do I have any kids. It was my immediate family members started dying left and right, one by one.
That's right.
And so now, you know, we were that family that you saw in Soul Food. That was us. Every Sunday, you know, we get together. You know, we have
mm-hmm.
Sunday dinner, and it was a cardinal sin to miss. You know, now it's nobody to do that for anymore. And it's a very, very lonely feeling.
It's hard, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that, for me, my desire is to recreate what I had.
Right. And I think every man wants to do that, right? They just don't know how.
Right. Right. Right.
And that's a piece. I mean, I hear you because I had all my grandparents until I was like 30, and they were married for years. and watching eat, like my grandfather, one came to tell me that the other one was dead. They sent him. And he was trying to tell me he was dying. And it's like, well, I know we all die, granddaddy, but, and not understanding, they were like 8, 9 months apart. And then my grandmother, it's been what, about 5 years now, but those are the ones that I look to, even though I have my parents are married for a while, those are my examples of marriage. And I actually blogged about how I had a dream about the Olivers. They were servants. They taught me how to serve. You know, the Sunday dinners and all the other pieces, you know, Christmas and so forth. And when you have family like that, you do miss it. Like my son came here from Hawaii. Hadn't seen that. I have two grandchildren now and the new one. But he started, and part of me, and it's a whole testimony eventually I have to give, but buying the house and Josh started coming through. I've got, you know, I'm looking now, I'm in the library, the kiddie books. But he started to say, wow, remnants of my childhood. And so part of the house is that this is your house. You can't sell it. It's the family house. Because I understand that what family gives a structure, Sean. And I think that's where people don't understand the enemy fight, because he knows that families are powerful. You know, there's nothing, like I was thinking of the scripture, that, you know, one could put 1,000, two could put 10, the number's more than double. And so when a family, you have a strong structure, you can withstand anything. And so it is hard when you have those tight families that when you begin to lose that. And part of my, so even in my studies in my undergrad, you know, I began to read some of the books from slaves to their first wife. They were sold off. And I think we don't understand how hard families try to stay together. But we're still slaves in our mind, you know, our culture, because we think it's okay for men to create children and to sleep. Well, no, your ancestors didn't do that. They had no choice. But when they're, and even at the risk of life and death, because I read some of the letters, they went back to see their first wife, or they sent locks of hair, or, you know, it's just these endearing things that they did. And family comes along with marriage. But now you hear people say, you know, what's the point of marriage? You know, we did a show. There's a show coming up with Diamond D and myself where we talk about, he said, this is 2017. Marriage is underrated, because that's what everyone is saying. Mm-hmm. And I think we're here to, my expression, change the face of relationship, because it has to be done different. We're not surviving. You know, no man is an island, and I think your testimony, I thank you for sharing that today, is a prime example that you never know when you will lose family, and so you always have to have stuff in place. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that you're trying to recreate.
Yes, indeed.
So I appreciate you, Sean, for sharing that. Do you have any final words to give to the women today? And of course, I'll give you. You can find Sean on Facebook if you connect to me, Sean. How do you spell your last name, Sean? It's W-I-L, yep. Right?
W-I-L-B-U-R-N. That's correct.
And he actually is called. What's your name? Your pen name? The doctor's. What's this? The doctor is
Doctor.
I'm
Doctor Sean on Doctor's Orders. Uh-huh.
That's right, Doctor's Orders. So they have a show. They've been taping it Facebook Live on Wednesdays. Ladies and gentlemen, you can try to pop in if you connect. So I may not be able to add your friend, but of course you all know how to drill. You can follow on Instagram. I think he has a Twitter as well. But he has an awesome show. But why don't you leave us with some parting words, you know, to the ladies, some wisdom.
I would just simply say this, ladies. Just remember that men, A, are not wordsmiths, and B, they're not emotional. And so just because he doesn't speak your language yet doesn't mean he's not trying. So if I go learn Spanish tonight, go to Rosetta Stone class, I'm not going to be fluent tomorrow. It's going to take time. And so just, you know, pay attention to a man's actions. A man's actions will tell you how he feels about you.
I've always said that. There's 7,000. You all have 7,000, so our 15,000 average a day, which is weird, twice as much. And I have learned that when men try to change, to adjust around you, those are the ones that are really interested. And I've also learned that men will try it for a brief moment, then they revert back. So he's not the one. So when there's a when you see a permanent, why are you laughing so? Really?
Because that's true. I mean, I'm chuckling because it's true.
I got stories. They'll do it for heart, and that's about the chase. Or you know what I think? That's another show. Is that like I always say to guys, I'm not like every other female, and of course every female says that, but then they learn that's really true. And I'm everything that I said I was. I try to give you the warning up front, but they're not listening. And so when it unravels, I think in their mind they're like, oh my gosh, she really was right. Because the key is that unlike most women, like I say, you know, I'm really tapped in. Like I pick up stuff. Like I know one guy I was talking to, whatever you want to call it, is I knew he left something, meaning another relationship. Like just before me, I just never said anything. And it was like, really? I had one guy say to me, your husband's coming. Okay. And most women would have responded and got all giggly. And I didn't say anything. He said, didn't you hear me? I said, I heard you. you know, the hell you're talking to. So he got absolutely no response. So I'm assuming that line worked for him before. I don't know how the hand went. I did one of the dude moves. I literally just shut down and said, work. Okay, I'll let you talk. Okay. I'm sorry. I admit I sometimes play mind games like you all do.
Hey.
But I tell them up front. But seriously, ladies, I hope you're listening. They're men are not wordsmiths, and don't be emotional when you deal with them. Most men don't like drama. And I was, this is Queen Bee's piece. He likes drama. Typically, he's insecure. He's not ready. And you should run.
Right.
Run with the quickness.
Yes,
run for it. Leave with the quickness. I don't care if he's 40, if he's 50, if he's 69. That's what you're going to end up with. And we do understand that men mature slower than women, but at some point we all have to grow up. And so I appreciate you, Sean, for coming in. My audience, I appreciate you as well. I hope that, you know, as we continue these little talks and chats, that you're learning a little bit more about love, marriage, and relationships. I actually pray that it will help you change your mind. You know, this is part of Transformation Tuesday. But a transformation means that you will make changes, that you will begin to think before you go into something. And with that, you begin to change your life. You know, if you change your mind, you can change your life. And so you've been listening to the Queen Bee and Sean Wilburn on Transformation Tuesday on Fresh Air Radio, where we play music for your soul. I hope to see you again next week. Stay tuned. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. God bless you. Have a good one. Thank you.